Praise the Lord for that truth there. I'm glad Jesus came to me. Amen. All right, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 24. Luke chapter 24, while you're turning there, I'll say that it sure is good to be in God's house on this Resurrection Sunday, and I'm glad that I have the opportunity to preach God's Word. I appreciate the pastor allowing me to do that this afternoon. I want to say to you that may be tuning in tonight and you were not here this morning, whether you be a visitor or someone that just clicked on this link, if you did not hear this morning's message, I want to encourage you to, after this message is over, go back and you make sure you listen to this morning's message, because what a great message it was. God really stirred my heart in the truths of that message this morning, that Jesus is able, amen, to save to the uttermost. And I sure am glad to be saved, amen. I'm glad I'm saved. And so I want to preach a message to you tonight out of the Gospels. I'm going to try to stay in Luke chapter 24 as much as I can this afternoon. But I want you to look into Luke chapter 24. We may turn to a couple different places throughout the Gospels. And I want to preach a message tonight. The title of the message is The Results of the Resurrection. The Results of the Resurrection. But as I get into the message, I want to, in way of introduction, look at some other thoughts. And so we'll do that after we read here in Luke chapter 24. We're going to read verses 1, and we'll read down through verse number 12. Luke chapter 24, we'll read verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message. Father, thank you, God, for your goodness. God, we thank you for your word. And God, I pray as I try to preach your word tonight, God, I pray that you would help me. Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would empty me of self, and God, cleanse me of sin, and God, fill me with your spirit. Help me, Lord, as I try to present your word in a way that would be pleasing to you. God, thank you for the truths that we heard this morning. God, we're so thankful for Jesus and for his ability to save. God, thank you for that, Lord. God, I pray that tonight you would bless the preaching of your word. God, use it in the way that you choose to. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at Luke chapter 24 and a couple of the Gospels tonight, as I said, I want to preach a message to you on the results of the resurrection. But in doing so, I want to look at some other aspects of this the revelation, the resurrection story. And so the first thing I want us to see about the resurrection is, I want us to see the reactions to his resurrection. The reactions to his resurrection. As I was studying for this message, I was, if I'm honest, I was a little surprised at some of the reactions that I saw as I was looking through the Gospels and looking at how people responded and how they reacted to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe as we look through these really quickly, I believe you're going to see that the way that people react at that first resurrection Sunday is very similar to the way that many are reacting today. The first thing I see in their reaction to his resurrection, I see that there was many that doubted. Look in chapter 24, look in verse number 11. The Bible says, "And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed not." You see, in that first resurrection Sunday, there were those that were doubting. There were those that did not believe that Jesus had resurrected as he said that he would do. And it says it there in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 11. If you have your Bible and you want to turn real quick, it also tells us in Mark chapter 16. In Mark chapter 16, in verse number 9, it says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils, and she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her," look what it says, "believed not." You see, that first resurrection Sunday, there were those that doubted, that did not believe. Verse 12 says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue." And look what it says, "Neither believed they them." You see, in the first resurrection Sunday, there were those that were doubting. They were doubting the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can I tell you today, hey, there are still some that doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They don't know whether they believe it or not. You know, we know about Thomas in John chapter number 20. I believe it's in verse number 25. Thomas said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side," he said, "I will not believe." You see, he was doubting the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You know, as I speak tonight, there's no doubt in my mind, there's no question whether or not there are some today that doubt his resurrection. There may be some tuned in through Facebook, and you're really not a believer, but you clicked on this message this afternoon, and you have your doubts about Jesus' resurrection. Hey, they were doubting the first resurrection Sunday, the first Easter, so to speak. There were those that were doubting, that did not believe. There may be some that we call their self-believers, some that attend church. Maybe there's some young person that's a member of this church, some young person that's in our youth group, and you've grown up in church, and you've heard the Bible preached, and you know about the resurrection, but in your mind there are some doubts. You just don't know whether or not you believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Can I tell you, hey, there was people that way in Jesus' day, and there's still people that way today. There are those that doubt it, but not only are there those that doubt it, hey, there were those that first resurrection Sunday that were disappointed. They were discouraged. The things didn't go the way they thought that they would go. Look in Luke chapter number 24. Look in verse number 17. The Bible says in verse number 17, "And he said unto them," the two disciples there on the road to Emmaus, you look in verse 13, it says, "Behold, two of them that went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And it says in verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" You see, Jesus said, hey, you guys are sad. What's going on? You see, they tell Jesus what was going on. The Bible tells us in verse 18, and then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" And he said unto them, "What things?" And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And verse 21 says, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." They said, hey, this thing didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen.
We thought that he was the redeemer of Israel, but yet he died. And then you look in verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and they found not his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. You see, these disciples on the road to Emmaus, these two disciples, they were disappointed. They were discouraged. Resurrection Sunday didn't go the way they thought it was going to go. Can I tell you, there's some that may be at home today watching the service this afternoon, and you're thinking, you know what, Brother David? Hey, Easter hasn't went the way I thought it would go. If I'm honest with you tonight, hey, Easter's not going the way I thought it would go. Resurrection Sunday isn't the way that I thought it would go today. And you see, there's some this today that may be like those in that day, and you're disappointed. You say, this thing isn't working out the way that I had it planned. You see, there were those that were doubting. There were those that were disappointed. In Mark chapter number 16 and verse number 10, as those ladies came and told the disciples what they had saw, the Bible says that the disciples were mourning and weeping. You see, things didn't go the way they thought they were going to go. And so this first Resurrection Sunday, there were those that doubted. There were those that were disappointed. Can I tell you this? Hey, not only were those that doubted and those that were disappointed, but there were some that Sunday, that resurrection day, that had a disdain. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says in Matthew 28, verse number 11, now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. You see, that first Resurrection Sunday, there were some that were doubting. They did not believe. There were some that were disappointed. They were discouraged. Things didn't go the way they had planned. But there were also some that had a disdain. They couldn't stand the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to make up a story about how he had risen and how that his body had been stolen. They didn't want anybody to know about the resurrected Savior. You see, in John chapter number 20, you'll find where the disciples are together in a place, and the Bible says because they were afraid of the Jews. There were those in the high-ranking officials of their day, the government, so to speak, you might say, that had a disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Brother David, do you think that's going on today? I do think that's going on today. As we meet together this afternoon on Resurrection Sunday, can I tell you, all across this land, really all across this world, there are some that have a disdain for what we're celebrating today. They cannot stand the fact that Jesus has resurrected from the grave. That's why they put out their bans, and that's why they don't want people meeting together in the house of God. And I'm not saying that we should be meeting as a group and gathering in the church, but I'm saying, hey, it's hard to believe that in this country, it's illegal for someone to pull up outside of their church and not get outside of their vehicle and have a man of God stand up and preach the word of God, but yet someone can walk into a liquor store and buy alcohol, and they can go into these places and do things that are awful. But yet if a man of God wants to meet together with the people in the parking lot inside their vehicles, it's not okay in this country in some places today. You say, why is that, Brother David? Because there are some folks today, just as there was in that day, that have a disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't like him. You say, well, Brother David, it's not that. They're just worried about our safety. Hey, you mark it down. It is that. There is a group of people in this world. The spirit of Antichrist is strong, and there is a group of people in this world. They hate what we stand for. They hate what we believe. They hate the fact that Jesus resurrected from the grave, and they want to do whatever they can to shut it out, to quieten it up, to do whatever it takes, to spend money, to tell lies, to pass laws, to do whatever they can to get rid of this man Jesus. They were doing it in his day. You see, the resurrection day isn't much different today than it was in that day. There were those that doubted. There were those that were disappointed. There were those that had a disdain for Jesus. But I will say this, Matthew chapter 28, you're there. I'm glad that in the midst of all of that, I looked through these gospels, and I'll be honest with you, as I was looking through them, I thought, oh my goodness, is there anybody that's happy about this thing? Look in chapter 28, look in verse number 8. The Bible says, well, verse 7 says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And verse 8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear, and here it is, great joy. You see, in Jesus' day, that first resurrection Sunday, there were those that doubted. There were those that were disappointed. There were those that had a disdain. But yet, I'm glad to report to you, there were those that were delighted. Hey, I'm glad to be a part of that crowd today. I am delighted that Jesus resurrected from the grave, right? And I believe that you are too. And there was those in that day that were delighted. So you see, that this first Easter was very much like this Easter. The emotions on this first Easter were very much like the emotions on this Easter. The reactions on that resurrection day are very much like the reactions on this resurrection day. There are those that doubt. There are those that are disappointed. There's those that have a disdain. And thank God there are those that are delighted. So we see the reactions of his resurrection. I want us to look next at the revealing or the revelation of his resurrection. The revealing of his resurrection. You say, how did Jesus reveal himself? Well, Jesus revealed himself to these disciples in that day, and I believe he revealed himself the same way he does in this day. First thing I see is he sent someone. He sent someone. You see, when those ladies came to the tomb there, that resurrection morning, when they came to put their spices there to see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus had sent some angels there. They told those ladies, hey, he's not here. He's risen as he said he would do. You see, Jesus sent someone. He sent those angels. Hey, those angels sent those ladies and said, go tell the disciples and Peter. Hey, go tell Jesus' disciples that he's alive just as he said he was going to be. Hey, go tell them. You see, he sent someone. He sent the angels. He sent the ladies. Hey, he sent those two disciples on the road to Emmaus after he opened their eyes and their understanding. Hey, they went back to those disciples and they said, hey, we've seen the risen Savior. You see, hey, Jesus revealed himself that resurrection Sunday by sending someone. And I'm glad that even this resurrection Sunday, hey, Jesus is still sending people. He's still sending somebody to tell somebody that he's alive. And can I tell you, hey, he sent me today. If you didn't know today and you tuned in today, I want to tell you the greatest news you've ever heard. Hey, Jesus is alive. And he sent someone to tell you that. I'm thankful for the day that Jesus sent someone my way to tell me that he is alive. Amen. You see, he sent someone, but not only that, hey, he spoke. Look in John chapter number 20. Well, you're in Luke chapter 26, I believe. I don't know where you're at. Let's go to Luke chapter 26 if you're not. Amen. Luke chapter number 20. There's no Luke chapter 26. Luke chapter 24. We're going to get it. Amen. Luke chapter 24. He spoke to them. Look in Luke chapter 24. Look at verse number 32. It says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, they said our hearts burned within us while he talked with us. You see, Jesus spoke to those disciples. Look in John chapter 20, if you would. John chapter number 20. I love this. This is one of my favorite. John chapter 20, the Bible says in verse number 14, I'm not going to read for sake of time the entirety of this section, but verse 14 it says, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And look at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turns herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. I just love how Jesus said, Mary. Say, why do you love that, Brother David? Because he spoke straight to her. I'm glad for the day in my life when Jesus spoke to me. Jesus himself spoke to me. You say, oh, you believe that, Brother David, with all of my heart. I'll never forget it. Pastor said this morning, hey, put down the date, the time that you were saved, October the 16th, 2005. I walked into a church and sat on the back row, lost as I could be in my sin. And I heard a man of God, this man of God, stand up and preach the word of God. Hey, and God himself, the Holy Spirit of God, spoke to me. He called my name. And I am so glad that Jesus spoke to me. And can I tell you, hey, he spoke that first Resurrection Sunday, and I got good news for you this Resurrection Sunday. He's still speaking today. Amen. Jesus is still speaking today. He spoke to them. Aren't you glad that Jesus is still speaking today? Amen. I heard a sweet voice, amen. I'm so glad that I heard that voice when he spoke to me. So we see he sent someone, he spoke, and then he showed them as if it wasn't enough. As if it was not enough that Jesus had sent someone to tell them that he was alive. Jesus spoke to them. He opened the scriptures to those disciples at Emmaus. He spoke to Mary. As if it was not enough, the Bible says that Jesus came and he showed them. He stood there. Look in chapter 24 of Luke. I hope you're still there. Luke chapter 24. Look in verse number 36. It says, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Aren't you glad, hey, that Jesus himself, he stood in the midst of them. Not only did he send someone, not only did he speak to them, but Jesus himself, he stood in the midst of them, and he said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And verse 38 says, and he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And look at verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Jesus said, hey guys, it's me. It's me. He said, let me show you myself. Behold, it's me. And I'm thankful that this Resurrection Sunday, hey, Jesus is still sending people all around this world to tell a world that he's alive. Jesus is still speaking to people through the Word of God and through preachers all across this world preaching the Word of God. But not just that, hey, Jesus is still showing himself to this world. Jesus is still doing things in this world and trying to get people's attention and trying to say, hey, here I am. Here I am. It's me. I'm glad Jesus has showed himself to me. He showed himself strong in my life. You say, Brother David, do you really believe that Jesus is alive? You better believe that I believe Jesus is alive, because he sent someone that told me. He spoke to me. And thank God, for the past 15 years, he's been showing me that he's alive. Jesus is alive. He revealed himself that Resurrection Sunday. So we see first the reactions that first Resurrection Sunday. Second, we see the revealing or the revelation that second, that first Resurrection Sunday. I'm tongue-tying myself, amen. But here's the message. You say, wow, Brother Dave, that was a long introduction. Well, the message isn't as long as the introduction. Here's the message. The results of his resurrection. The results of his resurrection. You say, I see how they reacted. I see how he revealed himself. But what are the results of this Resurrection Sunday, this first resurrection? What are the results of it? I'll tell you what it is. Number one, I believe it's this: to evangelize. To evangelize. Look in chapter 24 of Luke. Look in verse number 46. The Bible says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And he said, ye are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You say, what is the result of the resurrection, Brother David? I believe the results of the resurrection is this: evangelization. Hey, Jesus said, hey guys, I got up out of the grave, and I'll tell you why I did. He said, it's written, I had to suffer, and I had to rise the third day. Why? So that repentance and remission of sins could be preached among all nations. In Matthew chapter number 28, he said, and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. In Mark chapter number 16, Jesus said, preach the gospel to every, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus said, hey, the reason I've resurrected from the grave is so that you could go and evangelize the world. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus said, guys, hey, I got up out of the grave. I resurrected from the dead because I want you to go out and I want you to preach the gospel to this world. You tell those people that I was buried according to the scriptures, that I lived and I was buried and I was dead, but thank God I got up out of the grave according to the scriptures. That's the good news. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, hey, you tell this world. The results of his resurrection is evangelism. The good news, the gospel, that Christ died according to the scriptures. That he was buried and that he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave, thank God. Hey, our pastor preached it this morning. Hey, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. You say, why is he able, Brother David, to save to the uttermost? Because Jesus defeated the enemy. Jesus defeated the grave. Jesus defeated the devil. Hey, Jesus defeated sin when he got up out of that grave that resurrection morning. And because of that, he said, hey, you go preach to them. Evangelize. Hey, tell the world Jesus saves. Tell them Jesus saves. Have you heard the joyful sound? Hey, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Amen. Evangelize. You say, what is the result of the resurrection? Evangelization. Jesus wants us to evangelize. The first result I see is evangelization. The second result I see is expectancy. Look at verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. You say, hey, what's the results of the resurrection, Brother David? Well, number one, I believe it's evangelization. Jesus wants us to tell this world that he's alive. He wants us to evangelize this world, to tell them that there's a Savior, to tell them there's a way to have their sins forgiven. But not only that, hey, he wants us to live in expectancy. He wants us to live in expectancy. It says that he told them, hey, go to Jerusalem and tarry ye, because there's power coming. Acts chapter 1, I just read it to you in verse number 8. You can go there. Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost to you. That's something to get excited about. Hey, they were waiting in expectancy. But not only that, look in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 10. It says, well, verse number 9 says, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And verse 10 says, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Hey, they said, hey, this same, why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus that got up out of the grave, this same Jesus that's going up into heaven, hey, this same Jesus is coming again. And can I tell you, this Resurrection Sunday, hey, I believe one of the results of the resurrection is that we need to evangelize this world, but another result of the resurrection is, I believe we ought to be living with an expectancy. If Jesus could get up out of the grave, if Jesus could do what he's done, and if Jesus ascended back to the right hand of God the Father, and if Jesus said that he was coming back the same way as he left, can I tell you, hey, he is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, just like those angels said, hey, he's not here, he's risen as he said. Can I tell you, in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, Jesus said that he was going to go, but he was going to come again, and we ought to be living this resurrection Sunday with the expectancy of Jesus coming back again. Hey, there's an expectancy. It could be today. It could be today. Jesus could come today. Has there ever been a time when the entire world had, God had the entire world's attention like he does today? Jesus may come today. I say with John, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come. We ought to be living with an expectancy. So the results of the resurrection, evangelization, expectancy. And then last, Luke chapter 24. Excitement. Look at Luke chapter number 24. It says in verse 50, and he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Look at that. It says great joy. And look at what it says, verse 53. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I read verse 52 and verse 53, I see an excitement. There's an excitement. These disciples that had followed Jesus all these years while Jesus was fulfilling his earthly ministry, they had listened to his sermons, they had seen his miracles, and they had saw what he was going to do, and they thought that he was going to be the king, they thought he was going to be the redeemer, and then they went with him to Golgotha, and they saw him crucified, and they saw him die, and they knew he had been buried, and he had been gone for 3 days, and they were disappointed, and they were doubting, and they were discouraged, but now Jesus is alive, and he's showed himself to them. He's resurrected from the grave. He's commissioned them. He's told them to go evangelize, and he's given them something, some expectancy. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to comfort you and to guide you and to teach you. And he said, and not only that, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. And now he said, I want you to get excited. And those disciples, hey, I believe with all of my heart, they left the Mount of Olivet that first resurrection Sunday. Hey, they left out of there, well, 40 days later, but they left out of there excited. I mean, they were excited that they were serving a risen Savior. They were excited that Jesus was King, that Jesus was alive, that Jesus had a plan. They were excited. Can I tell you, this Resurrection Sunday, hey, we ought to be excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited, amen? I'm trying to convince you of that. I know our pastor this morning, he was excited. I was getting a little excited here. It ain't but a handful of us here at the church, and I was getting excited. I about wanted to jump up and start shouting amen. I mean, hey, it's something to be excited about. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Hey, you ought to get excited about the fact that Jesus is alive. Hey, as you sit there in your living room or wherever you may be, at your desktop or on your cell phone or in front of your laptop, hey, can I tell you, hey, you ought to be excited this afternoon because Jesus is alive. He's alive and alive forevermore. Hey, we ought to be evangelizing. We ought to be living a life of expectancy that the Lord is going to come again. And until he does, hey, bless God, we ought to be excited. We ought to be excited that our sins are forgiven, that our names are in heaven, that we're on the winning side. Hey, this thing, I've read the back of the book. I know how this thing goes. Hey, Jesus wins, brethren. Jesus wins. Hey, I want to tell you tonight as you sit there at your house, hey, Jesus wins, amen. Hey, get excited about that. Hey, we ought to go to work tomorrow, those essential employees. Amen. Those of you that are essential. Hey, you ought to go to work tomorrow and you ought to tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them that he's alive. Hey, go and evangelize your workplace. There's people that are just, I mean, they're hurting, they're discouraged, they're scared, they're afraid they're going to die. They don't have an answer. Can I tell you, hey, we've got the answer. The answer is a risen Savior. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. The answer is forgiveness of our sin. Hey, go evangelize. Go tell somebody, hey, that the King is alive and he's coming again. Hey, and be excited about it. Be excited about it. Jesus is alive. You say the results of the resurrection, excitement, expectancy, evangelism. I pray to God that we'll do those things. Hey, God spoke to my heart. I went out yesterday afternoon to get some groceries. I know some of you are mad at me now, but I did. And I didn't have on a mask or gloves. I'm sorry. I'm confessing my sin to you. But God spoke to my heart. And I can't tell you the times in the last couple weeks that I've walked through a grocery store or at a gas pump or in a public place. And there's people all around me that are scared to death. They're going to get sick. And why are they scared they're going to get sick? Because they're afraid they're going to die. And I have the answer. I have the cure for death. Jesus Christ defeated death. Jesus Christ defeated the grave. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I have the answer. And God spoke to my heart. And yesterday afternoon, I tried to give everybody that I could a gospel track and say, hey, I want to give you some good news. In a world full of bad news, hey, I've got some good news. You read this right here. It'll tell you the Bible way to get to heaven. Hey, brethren, we ought to be trying to evangelize this world. Why? Because Jesus may come. I believe if we would live with that expectancy that the same Jesus that left is coming again, I believe that we would evangelize this world. If we really believed he may come today, and we need to get excited about that. The fact that, hey, we're forgiven. We're in God's family. We're the children of God. Don't live in discouragement. Don't live in defeat. Don't live in fear. Brethren, hey, we're living in an exciting time. We're the church of the living God. He's alive. Hey, we have a great opportunity to let this world know that Jesus is alive. He's a resurrected Savior. Results of the first resurrection. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness, God. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray, God, that somehow, some way, Lord, you would take this message. God, use it for your honor and your glory. God, I pray that my approach, God, my way of presenting your word would not be a distraction in any way to the truths that were presented. God, please take your word, God, and speak to the hearts of many people. God, I know your word is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I know you've promised your word would not return void. God, I'm begging you to take your word, God, and use it in the way that you would see fit. God, thank you for allowing me to preach the gospel of a risen Savior. Lord, I'm so glad to be saved. I'm so glad to be called your child. God, please help us to evangelize this world. God, help us to live with an expectancy of your soon return. And God, help us to be excited that we are in the work of God. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.